Hello and welcome back to the Mount Root Baptist Church Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. My name is Wayne, and today I'll finish up my readings for the Project 119 podcast for this week. Today is Sunday, July the 24th. Happy Resurrection Day. And it always makes me smile when I hear that on the podcast, to be reminded that every Sunday that we come to worship, we are reminding ourselves that we are people who believe in resurrection. Our first reading today is Deuteronomy chapter 14. You are the sons of the Lord your God. You shall not cut yourselves or make any baldness on your foreheads for the dead. For you are a people holy to the Lord your God, and the Lord has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. You shall not eat any abomination. These are the animals you may eat: the ox, the sheep, the goat, the deer, the gazelle, the roebuck, the wild goat, the ibex, the antelope, and the mountain sheep. Every animal that parts the hoof and has the hoof cloven in two and chews the cud, among the animals you may eat. Yet of those that chew the cud or have the hoof cloven, you shall not eat of these: the camel, the hare, the rock badger, because they chew the cud but do not part the hoof, are unclean for you. And the pig, because it parts the hoof but does not chew the cud, is unclean for you. Their flesh you shall not eat, and their carcasses you shall not touch. Of all that are in the waters, you may eat these: whatever has fins and scales you may eat, and whatever does not have fins and scales you shall not eat. It is unclean for you. You may eat all clean birds, but these are the ones that you shall not eat: the eagle, the bearded vulture, the black vulture, the kite, the falcon of any kind, every raven of any kind, the ostrich, the night hawk, the seagull, the hawk of any kind, the little owl and the short-eared owl, the barn owl and the tawny owl, the carrion vulture and the cormorant, the stork, the heron of any kind, the hoopoe and the bat, and all winged insects are unclean for you. They shall not be eaten. All clean winged things you may eat. You shall not eat anything that has died naturally. You may give it to the sojourner who is within your towns, that he may eat it, or you may sell it to a foreigner. For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. You shall not boil a young goat in its mother's milk. I'm going to take a break here before we hit the next section of Deuteronomy 14 and just say that I think the thing that's important to take from this is that phrase, for you are a people holy to the Lord your God. I've heard people try to clearly or definitively say, well, this is why you can eat that animal and this is why you can't eat that animal. And I think ultimately the law was intended to set God's people apart as different. And so even what they ate was to be different from the people around them. And they were to live into that impulse to feel different. And as I think about my own life, as I think about the lives of my children and others who I hope to see live for the Lord, embracing that truth that God causes people to be different is something that is so important for us, that it's uncomfortable. We want to blend in. We want to be like everybody else, but God calls us to be distinct. And he chose us out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to belong to him. So that even now that we don't follow the dietary laws because of what God has done for us in Christ and the fulfillment of the law, that impulse to be different, set apart, remains. I think God has that expectation for us. Now let's pick up in verse 22. You shall tithe all the yield of your seed that comes from the field year by year, and before the Lord your God, in the place that he will choose to make his name dwell there, you shall eat the tithe of your grain, of your wine, and of your oil, and the firstborn of your herd and flock, that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. And if the way is too long for you, so that you are not able to carry the tithe, when the Lord your God blesses you because the place is too far from you, which the Lord your God chooses to set his name there, then you shall turn it into money, and bind up the money in your hand, and go to the place that the Lord your God chooses, and spend the money for whatever you desire: oxen or sheep or wine or strong drink, whatever your appetite craves. And you shall eat there before the Lord your God and rejoice, you and your household. And you shall not neglect the Levite who is within your towns, for he has no portion or inheritance with you. At the end of every 3 years, you shall bring out all the tithe of your produce in the same year, and lay it up within your towns. And the Levite, because he has no portion or inheritance with you, and the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow, who are within your towns, shall come and eat and be filled, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands that you do. The Lord calls his people to tithe that which he has blessed them with. And in this section, at least, the two purposes that I see are to provide for the Levites who didn't have an inheritance in the land, that the Lord was their inheritance, and they devoted themselves to his work, that others would provide for them, and then also to provide for those who were marginalized in society, those who had no portion or inheritance, like the sojourner, the fatherless, the widow. And it continues to be the case that God calls us to steward our resources in such a way that we support his work in the world, and that we also support those who are in need. And so I ask you to consider that and pray about that in your own life, that how is it that God's calling you to steward your resources to support his work in the world, and also to support those who are in need and in danger, that don't have what they need to sustain life. Our psalm today is Psalm 58, to the choir master according to Do Not Destroy, a victim of David. Do you indeed decree what is right, you gods? Do you judge the children of man uprightly? No, in your hearts you devise wrongs. Your hands deal out violence on earth. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray from birth, speaking lies. They have venom like the venom of a serpent, like the deaf adder that stops its ear, so that it does not hear the voice of charmers or of the cunning enchanter. O God, break the teeth in their mouths. Tear out the fangs of the young lions, O Lord. Let them vanish like water that runs away. When he aims his arrows, let them be blunted. Let them be like the snail that dissolves into slime, like the stillborn child who never sees the sun. Sooner than your pots can feel the heat of thorns, whether green or ablaze, may he sweep them away. The righteous will rejoice when he sees the vengeance. He will bathe his feet in the blood of the wicked. Mankind will say, surely there is a reward for the righteous. Surely there is a God who judges on earth. Our final reading for today is Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 through 23. Paul writes, therefore let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Let no one disqualify you insisting on asceticism and worship of angels, going on in detail about visions, puffed up without reason by his sensuous mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together, through its joints and ligaments, grows with the growth that is from God. If with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, why, as if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to regulations? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, referring to things that all perish as they are used, according to human precepts and teachings. These have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. This builds on what we read yesterday in Colossians, and the idea that there are ways to try to approach God that are founded on traditions or rules that we put in place of don't do this, don't do that. But ultimately our hearts are the problems. We need more than just these things that have become customary that Paul talks about. Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. They have an appearance of wisdom, but ultimately they can't stop the indulgence of the flesh. That ultimately the only thing that can help us live for the Lord and pursue holiness as if our hearts are satisfied most deeply in Jesus. I invite you to pray with me. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the certainty of your presence and your provision in our lives. And so we thank you for the gifts of worship and gathering together as your people. We pray that you would help us to not neglect each other. You would give us more and more of a heart for you and for each other. We thank you for the truths of Scripture, and we pray that you would help us to be faithful as your people today. And Lord, that we would exalt Jesus, and that we would find our hope and our satisfaction in him, and that you, by the power of your Spirit, would enable us to live holy and upright lives. We offer this prayer in Christ's name. Amen.